The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So our coming and going session keeps coming and going, and so do all of us. And we continue our exploration of various koans in our tradition of koan study. Sometimes part of our, as we call it, our koan curriculum, sometimes not. The koan that I'm going to look into tonight is one that appears in three different places. And it's an interesting one. It has a lot of backstory to it, but I don't want to spend all my time telling you all about that, so I'm just going to sketch a little bit of it in. And there's a lot of commentaries on it, poetry that's been written about it. And I want to read you some of the poems that have been used as commentary on it. But I'm not even going to look too deeply into that. But just letting these words wash over you. Noticing what words touch your heart, what words go right over your head. It doesn't matter. And then towards the end, I'll give a little bit of... I'll do a little investigating myself into just one of the points of this koan that has taken so many spots in the koan curriculum. So one of the first places we encounter it is in our miscellaneous koans in the Boundless Way koan curriculum, which we've inherited from our ancestors, John Tirrant, Robert Aitken, the so-called Three Treasures lineage of Senbo Kyoden. We have this collection called the Miscellaneous Koans. And after you get some insight into some of what we call the basic eye-opening koans, we look through these miscellaneous koans, which come from many different places. And they're a little bit of a training in how to work with the classical koans, the great collections of the 12th and 13th centuries. So this one occurs in the miscellaneous koan and koans, and I'll just read you that version, which is very, very simple. It's called Huang Long's Three Barriers. Everyone has their own place of karma. Where is your place of karma? How does my hand resemble a Buddha's hand? How does my leg resemble a donkey's leg? And without attachment to naming, how does my hand resemble a Buddha's hand? So these are the three barriers of this teacher, Huang Long. And they were famous throughout the Tang Dynasty, the Sung Dynasty. They were well known to Wu Men when he put together the collection we call the No Gate Barrier or the Gateless Gate or the No Gate Gate. It's the Wu Men Guan in Chinese. Wu Men's name means no gate, and Guan means barrier or gateway. So we translate it in various ways. And Wu Men himself put together 48 koans into a collection. And when he had collected them and written commentaries and verses on them, this was in about, about the 13th century in China, he went traveling to sort of like a 13th century Chinese version of a book tour. And he gave teisho. He gave talks on all of these koans. And he came to visit one Zen master who was so impressed that he decided to reward Wu Men for his diligence and service to the Dharma by writing three poems in response to these three barriers of this more ancient Zen master, Huang Long. And these are at the end of the Gateless Gate. We don't treat them as koans in our school, but some branches of Zen koan study do. And they're kind of sweet and lovely, so I just wanted you to hear these words. All people have their own place of birth and karma. Show me your place of birth and karma. And this teacher in 1230, in gratitude to Wu Men, said the following. Everything penetrates to the world prior to consciousness. An old god broke his bones and gave them back to his father. Did the fifth ancestor have to rely on a causal relationship with a father? How is my hand like the Buddha's hand? Groping for the pillow at my back, I could feel it. In spite of myself, I burst out laughing. From the first, the whole body is the hand. And how is my leg like a donkey's leg? Even before taking a step, I have already trodden the ground. Freely, I pass over the four seas just as I wish. I ride topsy-turvy on the Great One's three-legged donkey. So I hope that's clear. Here's the koan as it appears in the Japanese collection, Entangling Vines. And it's called here Huanglong's Three Barriers. Huanglong Huinan asked Long Qing, Qing Xian, everyone has their own native place. What is your native place? Everyone has their own native place. What is your native place? And Long Qing, the student, answered, early this morning I had some rice gruel and now I feel hungry again. How does my hand resemble a Buddha's hand? Huanglong asked. Playing a lute in the moonlight, Long Qing answered. How does my leg resemble a donkey's leg? He asked. Long Qing answered, a snowy egret stands in the snow, but their colors are not the same. So these two last comments, playing a lute in the moonlight, and a snowy egret stands in the snow, but their colors are not the same. These are different ways of talking about form and emptiness. Interestingly, of course, we wouldn't have accepted any of these answers in our school. Those beautiful poems of the teacher who was praising Wu Men, or these answers from Long Qing. And it turns out, neither did Huanglong, because the koan goes on. Huanglong always presented students with these three statements, but no one could come up with a satisfactory response. Monks everywhere called them the three barriers of Huanglong. Even with the few who gave answers, the master would neither agree nor disagree, but only sit there in formal posture with eyes closed. No one could fathom his intent. When the layman Fan Yanji asked the reason for this, Huanglong replied, those who have passed through the gate shake their sleeves and go straight on their way. What do they care if there's a gatekeeper? Those who seek the gatekeeper's permission have yet to pass through. So I want to talk about this part of the koan, this very interesting response from a Zen teacher who sets up these three barriers which have so resonated with people that they've gone on for 1,000 years, puzzling Zen students, frustrating Zen students. Everyone has a place of birth and karma. What's your place? Tell me right now, what's your place? How does your hand resemble the hand of a Buddha? Show me right now. And how does your hand resemble the hand of a donkey? What? How do you understand this? These challenges. We can't just make things up, but we have to come from some very grounded place, a place that we've come to through hard hours and years of practice with things just as they are, to be able to give a satisfactory, as we say, response. We have to not be fooled by all the language and the misdirection. We call the misdirection in Zen koan study weeds. All koans have weeds. They're distracting elements that misdirect you, that take you away from the thing itself, from the essence itself. So that when you come in to give an answer to a koan, as your teacher has requested of you, and you do your best, and in Boundless Way, we have this sort of, I guess I'd call it a gentle response. We often say, that's an interesting answer, or, I don't know, or we do things that we call pulling strings or giving hints. We keep hoping that the way will open for you, and then it does, and then you have your own answer, which we can affirm. Your own answer, which we can affirm. Not a guessing game where you try to figure out what we want. And it looks like this tradition of it not being a guessing game and making it dependent on the student rather than the approval of the teacher goes back a long way. It's not just something we made up. It goes all the way back to the sky, Huang Long, and his three barriers. Imagine having a teacher, and you don't have one right now because I don't think any of us in Boundless Way do this, at least to my knowledge. A teacher who, no matter what you do or say, no matter what stories and complaints and insights you come in with, just sits there with eyes closed and doesn't do anything. This is what Huang Long did. Even with the few who gave answers, the master would neither agree nor disagree, but only sit there in formal posture with eyes closed. I read this line myself and I think, oh, I'd love to do that. But I don't think that because it's just not our style, it would be a big shift in the culture of Boundless Way to do that. And yet inside there's some kind of an internal response that's just like this. You remember the story I told, some of you were here or maybe you've listened to the talks online, about the teacher who wouldn't answer the door, and then finally he answered for a student, and then he'd slam the door. And so the student stuck his foot in the door, and the teacher slammed his door and broke his foot. But the student, in that story, had an awakening when his foot broke. We've said we don't use those methods. But it doesn't matter. The response is similar, right? A kind of endless, not this. Look somewhere else. Look deeper. Don't settle. Don't be satisfied with some kind of an answer that you've come up with or a question you've been thinking about that will take you away from this essential place. One of you asked me today if it was okay to have insights. Do other people have insights? And I said to you, it's not necessary to have insights, which I think that person found to be a relief. I'm doing a little mind reading here, but that was the conversation that went on from there. What if you didn't have insights? What if you just fully entered the moment as yourself? Well, the fact is, that's very hard to do. And the Doksan Room is a place to do that, and we've expanded that to our Dharma dialogues and our koan salons. We should have a sign that says, no bullshit here. Just being yourself. So Wang Long's way of evoking that in his students was to do nothing, to just sit with eyes closed. We have a conversation with you and try to direct you back to yourself, back to not your ideas about the way life is, but how you really experience it, which we've also been discussing. The central teaching of Buddhism itself, not just Zen, is this what we call the quiver of suffering, the quiver of pain, that if we sit still long enough, we begin to feel the feeling of it shouldn't be like this. As one of you said today in the Dharma dialogue, life sucks, which is another translation of the First Noble Truth of dukkha. Dukkha meaning something that's out of alignment, not quite here. So we translate it as suffering, or about 19th century white male scholars translated it as suffering. But actually, it doesn't mean suffering in the modern English sense of that word. It means not quite right. And that not quite right can get bigger and bigger and bigger until we're shaking with how awful it is. And I hope so, because things are awful. The world is on fire. People are killing each other. Everywhere. People are ignoring each other. Everywhere. And it's been this way forever. It's not just an artifact of the current world situation. But maybe we're waking up to it. So one way to evoke this ruthless, unrelenting honesty is to challenge its opposite when it arises. To see, which is our job as teachers, when the walls go up, when the self-protection devices and the strategies start doing their little dances, the very things that have made us survive all these years. I'm not saying they're bad, but they just won't wash in Zen practice. Robert Aitken, my teacher's teacher, used to say, fine words, that is, ideas and insights and wonderful questions and observations, fine words won't butter your parsnips. If you don't know what that means, you can ask David later in Duksa. Fine words don't butter your parsnips. Your insights and revelations, your strategies and ways to avoid being human will not liberate you. But we have to keep trying until we run out of steam. And in that moment, we become Huang Long, who sits in formal posture with eyes closed, neither agreeing nor disagreeing. And he says, for people who really know, there's no need to be a gatekeeper for them. They don't need the permission of a teacher to pass through. In fact, as Dogen said in the reading we did tonight, this very moment is the moment that you get to wake up. You don't need anybody else's permission or guidance even, although we provide it for you, because it's so hard for human beings to drop our strategies, which get subtler and subtler, by the way, over the many years of practice. All we do is meet you where you are, and gently, and sometimes strongly, and sometimes fiercely, direct you back to your own heart. Everyone has their own place in karma. What is your original place in karma? How does my hand resemble a Buddha's hand? How does my leg resemble a donkey's leg? Without attachment to naming, how does my hand resemble a Buddha's hand? Thank you. Let's sit for a moment, allowing the talk to resonate, and then we'll move on.